Please be seated. A warm welcome to everyone this morning. It's nice to see the gentle falling snow out there, and it's not too slippery underfoot yet, so thank you for trudging through that. Please make sure you pick up your copy of the annual report out in the hallway and look it over in preparation for the annual meeting after church next Sunday. Now, there's lots happening this week. One Burlington Celebrating Faith and Culture is putting on a Black History Month presentation at Port Nelson United Church on Friday, February 7th, so that it this coming Friday from 7 to 9 p.m. And do you like gospel singing? Because if you do, come on out, there's going to be a gospel choir. Do you like a steel band? Because there's going to be a steel band too, and there's going to be some finger food. So it'd be awesome. And it's free. You're asked to bring a canned good for the food bank. So it's not in the bulletin, but it is on the bulletin board, this poster. So that would be really, really cool. Then East Plains United Church, this is in the bulletin, on Saturday, is having a book study on the climate crisis with Naomi Klein's book, On Fire. So that's Saturday at 7:30. Meet and greet starts at 7, and that is in the bulletin if you would like more information. Also in the bulletin is the St. John's Ambulance First Aid Training course. Appleby had a course in the hall about 3 years back. I think it's called the ADD machine that's outside of my office. A lot of us learned how to use it, but some have been feeling it's time to do a research on it. It's almost 3 years. Please contact Mary Dunbar by Valentine's Day. Her contact information is in the book to see when the best time to do it. And how appropriate that you get in touch with someone by Valentine's Day for a heart research. So anyway, that's kind of cool. Information is in the bulletin. Other neat things in the bulletin is the Morning Glories next Tuesday, and you're going to hear about a trip to Greece. And next Thursday is Our Community Cares Spaghetti Dinner, and the list of things they support is also in the bulletin. So lots of cool things. Bible study is Tuesday night this coming week, chapter 3. And the flowers here this morning are from Helen Frankham's funeral that was here on Thursday. I had one minister say his announcements was his mini sermon. So you're getting the mini sermon this week. I really like this book, Love Over Fear, by Dan White. It's called Facing Monsters, Befriending Enemies, and Healing Our Polarized World. And there's lots of divisions in our world anymore. And so I'm thinking of doing it on some Saturday mornings through Lent. There's a sign-up sheet on my door, so I know how many books to order. It's an easy read, fairly big writing and small pages. I always look for those kind of books, big writing, small pages. So please sign up for it. Now, another reason this is so important is I was disturbed to hear about the increase of racism towards Chinese Canadians over the coronavirus outbreak. And some of that is being fueled by misinformation online. I saw a CBC news report. There's a picture that shows big excavators, right? Well, they're actually for making the foundation of a new hospital in Wuhan. But online, it says they're digging mass graves for people who have died from the virus. So, you know, we need to be incredibly careful about what we read and do online. The good news out of that story is that Twitter and YouTube are redirecting people to credible sites such as hospitals and doctors to get more accurate information. In that news report, a lawyer, A.B. Go lawyer in Toronto, spoke of how in 2003, SCARS outbreak, people came to a clinic being evicted by landlords thinking they will bring SARS into the building. Remember that scare quite a few years ago? Workers also reported their hours being cut because they didn't want them in their buildings. She says she hopes we will not have a repeat, not just of the virus, but the virus of racism in 2003. So I guess we just need to be aware of that. As one kind Chinese Canadian said, it hurts. Our chance of catching the virus is just the same as anyone else's in Toronto, and some have been here for generations, which is very, very true, you know. So please keep everyone affected by the coronavirus in our thoughts and prayers this week. Are there any other announcements, celebrations, or concerns for the church community this morning?
Through the lighting of the Christ candle, we remember Jesus' presence in our midst. Through the lighting of the Christ candle, we open ourselves to the love and grace of God that we celebrate in worship.
Let us now acknowledge God's presence in word. Who may dwell in the house of God? What does God require of us?
To do justice, to love mercy, and to walk faithfully with God.
What we see as wisdom,
God shows us to be foolishness.
And what society sees as poor and lowly and weak,
God sees as heirs to the kingdom of God.
Let us pray. Holy One, we come with expectant hearts and minds, ready to be engulfed in the presence of your Holy Spirit. Grant us that peace which passes all understanding, to ready ourselves to hear your call and your word. Amen. Our next hymn is number 570, Jesus' Hands Were Kind Hands, in Voices United 570. Please be seated. Let us take a time for reflection and saying, I'm sorry. Let us pray. Let us be bold enough to admit our foolishness before God and one another, that through our confession we acknowledge our brokenness and our dependence upon God's love for the healing of ourselves and the world. Let us take a moment to bring some of our foolishness and brokenness before God in prayer. Amen. Let us rejoice in God's never-ending love for us. God's love is unconditional. Know that God's mercy is greater than our flaws, and God's mercy washes over us like a never-ending fountain. We are beloved children of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. We'll now have this morning's scripture readings, both of them gospel readings.
Good morning. We have two scripture readings. The first, both of them are stories of Jesus. The first one is John 1 to 15, and it's entitled The Woman at the Well. It's on the screen, or if you want to look in your Bible, it's Good News, New Translation. The Pharisees heard that Jesus is winning and baptizing more disciples than John. Actually, Jesus himself did not baptize anyone, only his disciples did. So when Jesus heard what was being said, he left Judea and went back to Galilee. On his way there, he had to go through Samaria. In Samaria, he came to a town named Sychar, which was not far from the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by the trip, sat down by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw some water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink of water." His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The woman answered, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan, so how can you ask me for a drink? Jews will not use the same cups and bowls that Samaritans use." Jesus answered, "If only you knew what God gives and who it is that is asking you for a drink, you would ask him, and he would give you life-giving water." "Sir," the woman said, "you don't have a bucket, and the well is deep. Where would you get that life-giving water? It was our ancestor Jacob that gave us this well. He and his children and his flocks all drank from it. You don't claim to be greater than Jacob, do you?" Jesus answered, "Those who drink this water will get thirsty again, but those who drink the water that I will give them will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give them will become in them a spring, which will provide them with life-giving water and give them eternal life." "Sir," the woman said, "give me that water, then I will never be thirsty again, nor will I have to come here to draw water." The second reading is Luke 4, 14 to 15. Jesus begins his work in Galilee. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, and the power of the Holy Spirit was with him. The news about him spread through all the territory. He taught in the synagogues and was praised by everyone. This ends the reading, and we thank God for his word. Thank you.
Joy to everyone.
Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you have a favorite coffee shop or restaurant or, fast food outlet that you go to? Anybody have some favorite haunts? Wonderful. Awesome. You go to her place. Is the cooking pretty good there? It is. Awesome. Now, when you go there, because it's one of your favorite places, do you recognize, are there other familiar faces? Sometimes. Depends how often you go. Exactly. I am Alan Warren, and today's message is the coffee shop. And I want to thank you for coming on this snowy day. And today you will learn why Jesus had to go through Samaria. You will learn a bit about those people Jesus asked us to say hello to, and why we need to carefully look at the stories we tell about ourselves and others and about the news we see, that they reflect and are consistent with God's stories of love and kindness and justice for the world. Can I tell you about a little bit about my life and one of my favorite places? Absolute, thank you. One of my favorite fast food places is Dairy Queen. Now, I don't know about you, love ice cream. I love blizzards. So much so that even in the cold weather, I have to go a few times just to get my fix. But if I'm ever feeling a little down, rushed, or frazzled, it's off to Dairy Queen I go, because life is better after a blizzard. Don't you think so? Life is definitely better after a blizzard. Now, not that I was frazzled on Thursday, but on Thursday, for the heck of it, I stopped into DQ in Waterdown on the way home. And while I was there, I noticed a young family. Three children, a mom, and a grandmother. It sounded like they were coming from swim lessons. And they spoke another language. The kids were all excited, and why wouldn't they be? They're getting ice cream. And I went, we really are a multicultural country, which is wonderful. So today, I want you to think about some of your favorite stopping points, whether it's the coffee shop, the gym, the YWCA, a restaurant. What do you like about that place? Who do you see? And are there some people who come regularly like you do? And you learn anything while you're there? Does that make sense? What are your favorite haunts? Find someone around you and share that with them. Go. Please stop. Thank you. Well, we can share haunts later, what the good restaurants are or the best fries in town. Now, I asked you to do that today because in Jesus' day, the community well was one of the local haunts, right? Local coffee shop where people came not only to get water, but to share stories and find out information. Now, in the past 2 weeks, I've been sharing with you some information from the book, The Church as Movement, Starting and Sustaining Missional Incarnational Communities. Can you put it up, John? Hopefully you can see this picture here. And the first week, if you remembered, we talked about 2 weeks ago, who do you eat with? And that symbol for eating was either the front porch or the table. How do you get to know the people around you where you live? Then we moved on to the path. You notice the pathway. And last week's message was entitled, Getting from A to B with Your Eyes Wide Open. What are your regular pathways you travel each week? And what do you notice as you do so? Are you dialed out? You know, are you on autopilot? Or are you dialed in? Noticing the people and the places around you. When you go to work, the grocery store, when you even buy your groceries. Do you say hello to the person ahead or behind you in line? Today, we will explore the idea of pivot points, places where you hang out regularly, be it the coffee shop, the bus stop, the library, the gym. And next week, we'll try and package it all together. You see that word parish up the top. The parish being a manageable section of our city that we feel some sense of responsibility for and ownership for. So I hope this makes some sense to you. And you may be saying, okay, Al, why are we doing this? Well, just as Jesus was sent to a particular time and place to be God's Word made flesh, so are we. And this neighborhood is our time and place. Do you remember the old saying, grow where you are? Planted, absolutely, thank you. And God has planted us here for a purpose. So we need to work on that. Now in Jesus' day and age, as I mentioned, the neighborhood coffee shop was the well. It was the place where people regularly went to get water, something to drink, but to catch up on community news. Did you hear about Mrs. So-and-so? Wasn't that too bad? I hope somebody helps her. What about... not that any of you are aware of... But there was also other things. There would be news from other towns and communities and other parts of the world from the caravans. So it was the place to exchange news. Now, have you ever skipped over something? Anybody here ever skipped over anything? The introduction to the book, how many read the introduction to the book? I usually skip over that. Anybody here tape their TV programs? You do? Do you skip over the commercials? Oh yeah, absolutely. That's the whole point of taping them, right? Don't want to do that. You know? This story of the woman at the well, when it is told, we usually skip over the first four verses. Well, no pun intended, these verses give you the story on why Jesus is in Samaria in the first place. Jesus hears some rumblings about his ministry. So he decides to leave Judea and go back to Galilee. On his way there, it says he had to go through Samaria. Have you ever had to do something? Was that a good feeling or a bad feeling? Usually for me, it's not a good feeling. You know, when I have to do something, clean out the garage, take out the garbage, a number of things. Well, you need to know, as a matter of fact, Jesus did not have to go through Samaria. As a matter of fact, most Jews would skip over Samaria, even though it meant going miles out of their way on foot. You see, Samaritans were considered offensive, unclean. They were a mixed race of people that followed a false religion orientated around an alternative temple, not the one in Jerusalem. There was some bad history between the Jews and Samaritans, the last flare-up being 400 years ago. Okay, this goes back a ways, when the exiles returned to build the temple in Jerusalem. Now, the Greek word translated had to in John's Gospel, it means in John's Gospel that this is associated with God's plan. It is an indication of divine direction and intention. Fred Craddock, a New Testament professor, points out that Jesus going through Samaria is a theological statement. What kind of statement? Thank you. Theological. It puts flesh and bones on the theology that God so loved the whole world. How much of the world? Yeah, not just part of it. And that we were all children of God, not just some of us. When Jesus had to go through Samaria, it is an analogy that to live in God's way and be a follower of Jesus, more often than not, God directs us along the more difficult path. Not the easy one, the hard one, where we have to bump into some of those people. Do you know who I mean when I say those people? Thank you. Now, those people do not have to be people of a different race, class, or religion. As a matter of fact, some of those people may be even in your own extended family. Just like Jews and Samaritans, you go back far enough, they were of one family. Now, does anyone here, now be honest, don't look around at who's putting up their hand, okay? Does anyone try and avoid some people at their extended family gatherings? Thank you, I saw a few heads. Thank you for being honest. You know, those people. Let me tell you about Donald, hopefully. And if you ever meet Donald, don't say, oh, Alan told me about you, okay? Don't do that, you know? Maybe you've noticed I'm not that tall, right? You know, I'm a little on the shorter side. Every time I see Donald, he says, have you grown yet? I'm saying, like, come on, really? Get a new opening line. You know, I'm 60 years old, you know? The last time he saw me, he said, I must be shrinking, you know? Oh, you must be getting old. Exactly. Thank you for the sigh. So if Donald's heading to the barbecue, guess what I do? I wait. You know, I'm not going up to the barbecue the same time Donald's there. You know, when I come into the backyard, if he's sitting on that side, where do I go? Thank you. Now, actually, I have figured out I don't want to be right across the backyard because he might see me. And then what's he going to do? Yeah, he's going to come over and talk to me. You know, I figured best is to sit halfway on this side, you know, so he doesn't see me very easily. And he's too far away that I do not have to talk to him. Surely somebody else does that here, right? I hope so. Maybe it's at the office party. Maybe it's at a sports banquet. Okay, maybe it's at school events, but there's some people that rub you the wrong way. Well, in this passage of Scripture, where Jesus starts a conversation with the Samaritan woman at the local coffee shop, God is challenging us to go beyond our comfort zone to say hello and strike up a conversation with, of all people, Donald. You know, those people. Can I have a drink of water, please? And instead of becoming bastions of isolation, we are called to follow Jesus and engage directly with others in our community. Those people. Samaritans to Jews were those people. Did you know that loneliness is becoming an epidemic in today's world? Thank you. As followers of Jesus, we're called to try and help do something about that by saying hello to people. I love Chuck Swindoll's description of loneliness. Listen, I'm going to have you repeat the end of it. Tears fall from our eyes as groans fall from our lips, but loneliness, the uninvited guest of the soul, arrives at dusk and stays for dinner. Maybe I'll just repeat it. It's a little long. Loneliness, the uninvited guest of the soul, arrives at dusk and does what? Thank you. Stays for dinner. In our modern world, we have become very good at building walls. Us versus them. Them being anyone who looks different than us, dresses different than us, has a different religious background, a different worldview, might be conservative or liberal, you know, gay, straight. We have become good at building walls to isolate us from problems or protect us from any pain. Do you think it'll work? Do you think building a wall will prevent you from experiencing pain? No. Pain is a universal constant, and it always manages to find its way in. It may not visit us every day, but we all have aches of the soul. God challenges us to build bridges, not walls. God challenges us to see our common humanity and help one another, support one another, cry with one another. That is the antidote to pain. Getting to know others, not walls, but bridges between us. Henry Nouwen challenges us to befriend our brokenness because it gives us the courage to be vulnerable with one another. I'm scared about that too. Or I know what it's like to lose a close friend or be betrayed. That helps to build bridges. Does anyone here ever go curling, past or present? Anybody been curling? Thank you, a few of you. Awesome. Curling clubs are other pivot points in our communities. Okay? On the game, on the ice, or after the game, sort of chat with others, covering everything from what's happening in your life to world events. Last week, an incredible, positive, and upbeat person said this about Kobe Bryant's death. I guess God needed another basketball team in heaven. I go, whoa. 9 people were killed in that crash, including Kobe's daughter, Guyana, who was also a good basketball player. At the time, I didn't say anything. I might next week. Such a statement goes along with the one Cameron Trimble refuted regarding the Australian wildfires that I sent out with my email a week ago. That's not the kind of God I believe in. Yes, this is a tragedy, but God had nothing to do with it, and God certainly doesn't need a basketball team in heaven. If you continue reading the rest of that fourth chapter, part of Jesus' conversation with the woman at the well was about how we understand God. And so we, like Jesus, are called to challenge misunderstandings of God at the coffee shop banter, just as Jesus did at the well. Coffee shop banter. Things that happen in the news, how do we respond to them? What stories do we tell about them? Coronavirus. Can you put up Cameron's slide, please? This was Cameron Trimble's slide from this week. She asks us to rethink the stories we tell ourselves of love, heartbreak, violence and peace, belonging and desertion. Because such stories determine how we live, love, and treat others. What stories are you telling yourself? What stories are you repeating to others? Do they reflect the story of God's love and care, grace, compassion, justice for the world? The aim of God in history is the creation of an all-inclusive community of loving persons with God at the center. If we are true to our faith and love our neighbors as Jesus did, we love them no matter their country of origin, no matter the color of their skin, no matter their financial status or sexual orientation. We love people no matter what their religious or spiritual tradition or no spiritual tradition at all. We actively work for everyone's well-being and our community's well-being, not because my neighbor is or will become a Christian. I love my neighbor because I am a Christian. Do you notice the difference? I love my neighbor because I am a Christian, and I have to live this out because God has loved me. What story do I need to tell myself and reflect to the world when I take my seat at the well beside Jesus in the local coffee shop? God has loved you. God loves you now and will always love you. Strangely enough, God loves your enemy. God loves your enemies now and will always love your enemies. God also loves those people. Dan White, co-author of The Church's Movement, who also wrote Love Over Hate, in the book he says he hangs out at a particular coffee shop. As he says, it would be easy for me to hide out in the back corner and sip my espresso. Instead, over the years, do you hear that? Over the years, I've had to learn to make introductions, ask questions, acknowledge and engage others, and remember names. A barista once asked me, "Are you a counselor or something?" It was an interesting observation, Dan replied. And I said, "No, not really. I just like to know who people are." His response was branded in Dan's mind. "Well, no one likes to do that anymore, do they?" Wow. Imagine a world or a coffee shop or a well where people knew one another's names, listened to their stories, and actually cared. What are we waiting for? Amen. Our next hymn is from the Soft Covered More Voices, 154. Deep in our hearts there is a common vision, 154.
Thank you. deep in our hearts there is a common vision. Deep in our hearts there is a common song. Deep in our hearts there is a common story, telling creation that we are one. Deep in our hearts there is a common purpose. Deep in our hearts there is a common goal. Deep in our hearts there is a sacred message, justice and peace in harmony. Deep in our hearts there is a common longing. Deep in our hearts there is a common being. Deep in our hearts there is a common current flowing to freedom like a stream.
Please be seated. Know that your offering helps to bring about good in our community and the world. We'll now have this morning's offering. Let us pray. Gracious God, we offer all that we are, all that we have, and all that we can be to you. Make us more than we are alone, instruments of your peace and justice, vestibles of your hope and love. Use us and the gifts we offer today for the reimagining of your kingdom. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. As children of God, we are called and claimed by the Creator of the universe. Hear our prayers at this moment for ourselves, our neighbors, and our world. Holy One, grant us the strength to overcome our fears and our weaknesses, that we may be your hands and feet in the world. Help us to turn this world upside down, that the norms of society might be broken down, and your grace and mercy of your kingdom may flourish. Abide in us that we may be granted your wisdom and vision for how the world ought to be. Give us eyes to see a hurting world, ears to hear the cries of grief and desperation, and a heart to be moved to action, that step by step we may live into the reality of your kingdom here on earth. Thank you for our communities of faith, whom we draw strength from each and every day, and give us the courage to go out to the wells and the coffee shops that we are a part of throughout the week, being a vessel and message of your love and grace. Today, O God, we especially think of all the people and families affected by the coronavirus here in Canada, in China, and around the world. We pray for the many affected in Wuhan. Help doctors and nurses that they contain the virus, and those working on a cure. As we are blessed by you, O God, may we work towards being a blessing to your creation and all within. This we ask in Jesus' name, who asks us to dream together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our concluding hymn is one that I think many of you will know, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, number 333 in Voices United. Love Divine, All Love Excelling.
Amen.
Take a moment to think about the coffee shops, the wells, and the curling clubs you will be a part of this week. Then think of how you can be a presence for the good, for love, for compassion, and justice in those places. And as you do so, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and grant you peace, now and forevermore. Up.